ahead with the recording.
Thank you, Ricardo. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the SecureWays Working Group call on Tuesday, 17th of September at 14 UTC. On the call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Carolyn Hoover, Mike O'Connor. We have apologies from Susan Purser, and from staff, we have Marika Connings, Barry Cobb, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Julia. Welcome, everyone. I'd also note that we've got apologies, I think, from Don Blumenthal and that Roy just joined at least the Adobe room, so I'll probably pick up a few more folks. I think some into the call will pause and acknowledge the rest of the people who've gotten on the call. We're a little thin on attendees today, but I think it's primarily due to the fact that we're very close to the final draft. And so I think we'll go ahead and do this call, record it as we are doing, touch up the final draft of both the comment review tool and the report itself, and then distribute those as consensus candidates to the list. I think there's nothing sinister going on here. It's just that we're getting very close to the end. And with that, let me just do our usual pause and see if that agenda suits and if there are any changes to anybody's statement of interest. Okay, what's on the screen is the comment review tool. Marika, do you want to drag us through the changes real quick? It looks like they start fairly late in the draft, and if you want, I can do that, but I don't know if there's anything you wanted to especially point out to us.
Yeah, I think it's Marika. I actually need to scroll down myself, but I basically just try to incorporate the notes from our last conversation, which I think starts basically at comment number 30 and then further down. So basically aims to reflect what we discussed and agreed upon. I think for several of those it's the standard response of the working group thanks you for your agreement with our conclusions, and some are just make some notes of what we highlighted. So I think it's more a question of reviewing what is there in addition to all the other responses provided, as the next step would be for this to become a clean version that would then get linked in the final report as a reference to how the working group has reviewed and responded to all the input received.
Yeah, thanks, Marika. I think the substantive one is on 39, as I look ahead here. Most of these are, as you say, pretty perfunctory. But on 39, that's where we actually highlight the point that we'd encourage people to implement this in a timely way. I don't think there's anything terribly surprising or controversial there, but that's the one that I see that has any real content. Does anybody have any comments on this before we close it up? It's looking pretty final to me. Again, we've got pretty light attendees. Alan, go ahead.
Just a question. Was the intent because of this to actually say this in a recommendation, or the wording around the recommendation, or what?
The way I read this is that we're going to insert language somewhere in the report. Marika, is that in the final draft that we're going to take a look at soon?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think that is included. It basically reflects, as well, we discussed last time, that the implementation of certain parts of the recommendation shouldn't unnecessarily delay other parts that they can move forward. And if I recall well, I have inserted that in the final report.
Okay, thank you.
Good catch, Alan. Or anything else? Carolyn was typing. Oh, Amris joined us. Good. Welcome, Amris. Carolyn is saying that this comment review tool is looking good. That's great. I'm pretty comfortable with it. You know, I'm pretty comfortable with both documents, actually, so it's good to hear. Any other comments? We'll sort of give Amr a second to dial in. He's coming in. Amr, if you're listening and you want us to slow down to wait for you, I'm happy to do it. But if you're fine with this draft, we'll churn ahead and move on to the final report draft. Maybe that's what we'll do, and I'll give you a special ticket to take us back to this. But Marika, why don't we switch over to the report at this point? It looks like this draft's in pretty good shape. Alan, is that an old hand?
No, it's a new hand for when the report comes out.
Or hand.
Before.
Oh, good for you. All right. Carry on.
My vague recollection, and it's slightly better than vague, but I cannot remember the contents of the recollection, is that at one point a few weeks ago, we decided to add a second recommendation. It wasn't a major world-changing thing, but we decided it should be there. And for the life of me, I don't have a clue what it was. Does anyone remember?
This is Marika.
I think what that... Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika, and that has been added. If you look at page 43, now basically, I think initially we said it could be two recommendations or we make it addition to the sentence. So what in the end I did is actually integrate it into the sentence because it seemed to flow a little bit better. So on page 43, you see that it now reads, the provision of thicker risk services with a consistent labeling and display as per the model outlined in specification 4 of the 2013 RAA should become a requirement for all GTLD registries, both existing and future. So it's a part of the consistent labeling and display that we agreed should be part of the recommendation to make to ensure that it would be implemented together with this requirement to provide thicker risk.
Okay, but shouldn't we have verbiage like that either in the recommendation or along with the recommendation?
Yeah,
it
that
the
was my recommendation.
Now, or I'm not sure what you mean.
I think where Alan's headed, remind me where our one sentence recommendation is that says, recommend. Oh, page 44.
In my version, in the one I have that you sent out.
Sure.
But.
Yeah, sorry, it's on the Adobe Connect. If you're not scrolling completely down to the page, it tells you the previous one. It's in the page 44, it's the language. In the middle of the page, highlighted in bold, that's our one recommendation that now includes elements.
Okay, hold on. I was looking at a version you sent out a while ago. Let me look at this one.
Yeah, I think it's there.
It could well be.
Yeah, but good catch. If you type in the little box at the bottom, the number 44, you get right there.
Ah, that's really smart. Thank you.
That's a cool gizmo I accidentally discovered one time and thought, oh, isn't that clever?
Okay, so where in 7.1 are the words that we're talking about?
The indented recommendation.
Right.
Now
with consistent labeling and display. Got it. Thank you very much.
That's how we tackled that.
Okay,
we decided it wasn't worth a whole nother one.
I'm absolutely delighted that we're coming out with a one sentence recommendation.
You know, there is a sound bite. You know, we worked for a year and we got a sentence. Not sure which way to interpret that sound bite, but there you go.
Well, if you remember correctly, or you don't have to remember, I'll tell you, when this whole thing started several years ago, my largest fear, and that of at large, was this become a generic who is working group and not a thick who is working group. And in fact, I think some of the discussion on the net recently, on the mailing list recently, to add more recommendations in terms of telling the council to do, you know, start a PDP on privacy or whatever, it is very much in that direction. So I'm quite delighted that we have managed to toe the line and just be a thick who is working group. So,
good deal. And I note that Steve Metalix is now with us, at least in Adobe and presumably on the call.
I'm here. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Steve. Okay, so Armour, you're now able to speak, I bet. Did you have anything on, and Steve as well, we sort of have gone through the public comment tool, and I just want to take a brief pause to let you drag us back there if there's anything in there that was bothering you. We didn't make any changes on the call, but by all means, feel free to drag us back to it if there's something you see. Armour, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. This is Armour. My old concern was regarding response consistency was addressed. The link was changed, and I think it changes the context of the recommendation the working group is making, and I'm fine with that now. Thank you very much.
Cool. Good to hear. Alan.
Yeah, just
next?
For the record, my confusion was caused because not unreasonably, the executive summary had not been updated yet, which I know Marika always does at the end, but nevertheless, I was confused by that, which explains why I raised the question.
Yeah. Well, you're allowed, but only this once.
Okay, promise. I have other work to do. I'll just leave if you'd like.
No, don't do that. This is the final stretch. Come on, we're going to get this done today, I think. I hope. As far as I can tell, what we're looking at is a consensus candidate draft. And Marika, is this the one that Steve marked up, or is this yours pre-Steve's?
This is Marika. This is the one that Steve marked up, although I think because of his markup, I think all my changes actually show as author and not with my name. But I think all the blue ones are mine, and I think Steve indicated in his email the specific changes that he made.
Yeah.
I'm happy to follow up if that's helpful.
Well, I've got that email in front of me, and I can take us through to those. Let's do that. I've reviewed them. They look fine to me. They're certainly not big ones, but they, I think, improve the draft, and so I would tend to ride along with them. But the first one is on, we'll see how the page numbers line up. Page 35 in his note. Yeah, it works. I'll tell you what, I'll just drag you there by going hitting the sync button. So what Steve is doing in this paragraph is two things. He's taking out the word proposed in the registrar accreditation agreement because it's now beyond that, and he's changing the link. I think, again, nothing. You know, great catch, but nothing terribly controversial there. I'm going to continue to drag you around. If this drives you nuts, let me know, folks. But the next one is on...
The change on page 35 that Steve made was actually in the footnote. I said it's a little confusing as the author is actually me. I think in the email Steve explained that it's actually in the footnotes that the update is made.
I think I come out as author there, too. But
yeah, everybody's an author.
Everybody's an author.
So it's your guess, basically.
Okay, so I can't rely on what I thought I was relying on. Okay, never mind. I guess I better pay closer attention here. So the footnote,
My only change there is change panel to portal.
Okay, so just a typo. Okay. All right, so then the next one is on, and if I actually read FN, I'd have figured out that that was good. No. Next one's on page 43. Drag us there. And again, a minor correction, substituting where for there. That seems good. And then some changes on page 47 and 48. That, I think, actually was a content change. Let me drag it down. Steve, you want to walk us through this one? I'm going to unsync.
This is point three. Again, these are some points we're making with regard to data protection, privacy and data protection, and the implementation of this. And number three referred to a couple of things that were open for public comment, where public comment has now concluded. So I part of the change was to remove the reference to public comment. And then this really kind of arose out of the whole dialogue with Avery and Amr and others, just to reference the experts working group, which is looking at this privacy question, and the fact that the board has said it will initiate a PDP, have a PDP initiated once the expert working group's work has progressed farther, and that will also look at the privacy issue. So it's really just pointing to a couple of other areas where this is being being discussed that need to be taken into account.
Thanks, Steve. And, sort of my hallway soundbite on this is that a lot of groups seem to be arriving at the same conclusion, that there needs to be a good bit of serious work done on the privacy issue and finally get that sorted, and we agree, and that we are looking forward to it, but that we don't want to do it ourselves. Anything else on this? Volker has joined. Welcome, Volker. This is the one on the bottom. I don't know where Volker is at, so I'll just sync for a minute. Volker, we're going through Steve's changes to the draft. We're moving pretty fast. I think the sense of this call is that we're pretty close to done here. Steve, you mentioned something on page 48. Oh, that was just deleting.
Yeah, I think
just deleting it.
In the earlier, in the draft, that this point three went over to page 48. I'm not sure whether the pagination has changed or what.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's precisely what happened. Okay. And then on page 47, there's also a reference to the Singapore Commission. That's in point one. And the question that Steve posed, and this is sort of the trivia question of the day. Does anybody know whether the Singapore Personal Data Protection Commission actually began its work in 2013? And if not, we probably have an action item for Marika and Barry to go check, just to sort of update that with the current status of that.
This is under point one. I'm sorry, this is Steve. This is under point one of this list. If you scroll up a little bit, but...
I'm sorry. I haven't.
Something that will begin in May 2013, and since we're now past 2013, we should either change that or drop it.
Or delete it, yeah. I think that's a fact-checking update. Marika, can you take that action? It should take but a trace to figure out what the status of it is.
They do have a website.
What?
I'm happy to look into that unless indeed someone knows the answer on this call.
It says it was established on the 2nd of January 2013 when they started working. I haven't found yet.
Well, you can be the fact checker, Alan.
Oh, I'm not doing any more than I'm saying than what you're hearing me doing right now.
Okay, we'll leave it. We'll leave that one with Marika. Okay, that's it for Steve's changes. And so now I think what I want to do is sort of throw it open to the rest of the group for conversation about the whole draft and see if there are any other issues that people want to bring forward. Otherwise, you know, I'm not adverse to ending the call early and pushing this out to the list as a consensus candidate. We've certainly been looking at this draft for a while, and most of the changes are, I think, pretty consistent with where the group is headed. So, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Steve. I would certainly support that, and I assume that would also include the updated executive summary, so that we'll have the whole document in front of us for approval.
Yeah, good catch. I agree. Good idea. Marika? Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm going to produce an updated, clean version, updating the executive summary and making the change once I find the information about the Singapore Data Protection Commission, hopefully tomorrow or on Thursday, to get that out to the list. I think then the question is, how long do you want to give everyone to, you know, either express disagreement or whether they want to support minority statements, or if there's something, I think we can still consider if there are, you know, edits that are just minor edits, you know, corrections, or you know, if there are mistakes in there. So I can basically get that to you, because I think it would probably be appropriate for you then to push that out to the list. But the group may want to discuss how much time they want to give everyone to review and object if necessary.
Well, my sort of first try reaction, but I'd be interested in the reaction of the rest of the group here, is in general, I've made the habit of pushing something out to the list with a pretty clear indication that this is a consensus candidate, and we take a look at it on the next call, and then we give it another week with a reminder that, you know, this is really, really a consensus candidate, and confirm it. So, you know, I would sort of set the informal target that 2 weeks from today would be the call where we put the final stamp on this one. And in terms of timing of minority opinions, I'm more flexible. You know, it may be that, if, you know, for example, Avery's mentioned that she might want to pen one of those, and I wouldn't want to put a tremendous amount of time pressure on her, although I would probably encourage trying to hit that same schedule. What do people think of that approach? Steve?
Yeah, this is Steve. This has already been out for a week and we've made only very minimal changes here based on something that's also been out for 6 days. So I would suggest if we can get this out, if Marika can get this out Thursday, is it realistic to ask people to make their yays or nays on this within a week, and then submit their any minority views or other comments in that same deadline? The thing I'm concerned about is, if I recall correctly, and I may be wrong, Marika can correct me, if we can get this done by September 30th, then it can go before the GNSO Council at its next meeting. I think that was the deadline. So I think at this point we're so close. Can we meet that target? If I'm right about it.
Why don't we try that approach? Marika's posted the timing. Excuse me, the timing in the chat. And indeed, documents are due September 30th. Which is for the next council meeting, which is 21 October.
It's 30th September is the deadline for the meeting on the 10th of October, and then the next meeting, the deadline for submission of documents, is the 21st of October for the meeting that takes place on the 31st. There are two council meetings in it.
I would be okay with that, although we do have the benefit of two meetings. It's interesting that they have two meetings in October. That's good. Why don't we do that, and I'll make it clear in my little introductory note that if people are feeling undue pressure, that they should raise their hands and say so, and that we're certainly not trying to sort of force this through, but that we feel like we're at that stage and see how it goes. And so then the plan would be that Marika would get a draft out either tomorrow or Thursday at the latest. We would present that as a consensus candidate that's already been reviewed once by this group on this call, and then that we'd like to take it up as the final consensus candidate a week from today and see how it goes. Amar, go ahead.
Hi, this is Amar. We've been working since last November together on this. Would you think it would be all right to aim for the second meeting in October as opposed to the first? This is my first working group, and so this is going to be the first time I go through the whole cycle, but I just feel a bit more comfortable with giving a little more time. I'm pretty sure that we will want to work on a minority statement. Maybe I'm supporting most of the findings in the final report, and maybe adding a few minority remarks from NCUC and perhaps also from MPOC. Would it be okay with everyone if we aim for the second meeting as opposed to the first?
Has anybody on the call got a serious problem with that? I mean, we do have the advantage of fairly frequent GNSO call meetings during the month of October, and I agree. I mean, we've worked for a long time on this. I'd hate to leave people at the very end feeling like they're unduly pressured. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. First, a clarification from Marika. I don't think we have another public comment period here, do we? Either we or the GNSO Council.
Yeah, this is Marika. There's no requirement to do so. The next public comment forum will be after the GNSO Council, provided they adopt the recommendations prior to board consideration.
That's what I thought. Okay. I would really like to get this out of our hands. I have no problem delaying until the second meeting in October, presenting it to council. It will almost surely get delayed until the meeting in wherever we're going, Buenos Aires, because almost surely someone will request a delay on it, and it would be nice to get it approved in Buenos Aires in the public meeting. So I have no problem presenting it to council at that meeting. I would like to for us to sign off on the body of the report before that, however. That will then allow time. Once we've signed off and it's fixed, then there's time for minority reports to be included. And they know, what they're commenting on is a fixed, stable product. So let's get it out of our hands, but if we need an extra few weeks to allow minority reports to be included in the report, I have no problem with that.
Amar, what's your reaction to that idea? I'm seeing thanks, Alan, from Amar, so that sounds like thumbs up from Amar. So then the plan would be we'd continue, in terms of the report, to push for a consensus call next week, but that we would wait to submit it to the council until the second deadline that Marika is describing, which would be
submit it to council,
the 21st of October.
Submit it to council with a motion to approve.
Right.
We have in the past, recent past, submitted something to council saying the motion will come next time.
No, we do want a motion to approve.
And we could, in fact, do that, and that may be a good thing to do. If the report is tied up in time for the 30th of September deadline, we could, in fact, submit it to council for their information with the understanding that a motion will be made at the next meeting. that has been something that's been recommended, that's been done once or twice, and I think appreciated.
Ah, well, there's an interesting wrinkle. What do people think of that? Steve, you've been patient. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I would support Alan's approach, but let me make sure I understand what he's recommending, which is that, what we're talking about here. So we would get the draft out by Thursday. We would give people a week or 10 days to indicate their support or non-support, you know, the consensus call. We would have a deadline of, let's say, 2 weeks later, October 15th, for any minority views, and then we would submit it in time for it to be acted upon at the October 31st council meeting, with an accompanying motion and a recommendation that it be taken up. Is that what we're talking about here?
The only thing you left out is by the deadline of the 30th of September, we would send the paper minus the report minus any minority reports to council for their information and for consideration of their stakeholder groups, giving them an extra meeting cycle to start looking at it.
Oh, that would be fine with me. And the other point I would make is that if the concern is that the NCUC wants to prepare minority views, can we also get an assurance from the NCUC that they will not seek to defer action on the motion once it's presented to council?
I don't think you can ask an individual.
That's a tall order. I think the other thing is that, in a way, deferring it would be nice, because then they would perhaps approve it in Buenos Aires in public meeting.
This is Amar. Can I jump in on that question just to say I'm not exactly sure what that even means? But so I can't promise that we're not going to do that right now, not on this call at least. Thanks.
Well, in that case, is it necessary to give the NCUC an additional time to delay action on this when the text has been relatively stable for months, 6 months? And we've had plenty of discussion about this on the list, and they can. Why is it unreasonable to ask them to formulate their views on this stable document within 10 days, unless they're simply seeking to delay for the purposes of delay?
Amar, you want to? I mean, let me put some words in your mouth. I mean, part of what Amar did is he prefaced this by saying, look, this is my very first working group, so he's a little unfamiliar with the process here. But
Mike, this is Roy. I mean, I can tell you that there is no dark intention from NCUC to delay anything. So I think that's a little bit unfair to even bring that up.
I think it's sort of a, I mean, to channel Steve a little bit, it is reasonable at this stage. This document's been pretty stable for a long time. The sense that I've got is that you now find yourself in a situation where you haven't really begun to formulate the minority position and need some time to do it, which is fine. And I think that might be a shame on me thing. I probably should have nudged you a week or so ago to say, look, it looks like this is coming in for final approval pretty quickly. And you might want, if you're going to do a minority statement, you might want to get started. So I'll shoulder some of the blame there in terms of scheduling. There's a queue, so let me go to that. Alan, go first.
Yeah, thank you. Two things. First of all, as someone who's often called upon to make statements on behalf of another group, formal statements, 10 days is a bit tight to formulate a statement and then get buy-in with the accompanying changes that always get made by other people in the process. I think the best guarantee to not getting it deferred when we make the motion is providing the actual report a month, the meeting ahead of time. But the bottom line is anyone on council can say I want a delay, and that might happen. And if that happens, it gets deferred to Buenos Aires, and that's not the worst thing in the world. But getting the actual report to the constituencies and stakeholder groups a full meeting ahead of time is probably the best thing we can do to reduce the need for delay. But there's no way we can guarantee it at this point.
I'm going to go to Steve and then Marika. Steve?
Yes. Thank you, and I appreciate Roy's and Amr's assurances that there's not an intention to delay here. And I agree with what Alan just said. So let's move ahead with the timetable that Alan has outlined, and hopefully we can can get this done before Buenos Aires, and if not, at Buenos Aires. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Steve. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. One thing you may want to take into account is actually if you look at the GNSO working group guidelines, it only refers to minority views in the cases of whether it's consensus, strong support, or significant opposition, or no consensus. There's the assumption that if there's full consensus, which I think is kind of the assumption we're operating under at the moment, at least for the recommendation, that in those cases there would not be a minority viewpoint as there's overall support for the recommendation. And I think it's also, if you read the working group guidelines, it specifically talks about minority views in relation to specific recommendations. So I think, I don't know exactly what NCC or NCC is working on, but if it's maybe more of a supplementary kind of statement that they would like to see recorded, maybe we're not talking about a minority statement, but possibly something that they would like to submit or include as an annex just to reflect maybe on some of the points that are included. Because I think we need to be careful as well that are we talking here about a minority viewpoint, which means we won't have full consensus, or are there other points that you just would like to highlight or point out that may not get unanimous consensus from the working group, but you nevertheless want to flag. So I think you may want to consider a little bit further what this may mean and the impact it may have on the report itself.
Thanks, Marika. An interesting question. I'm going to go to Alan and let Amr and Roy kind of cogitate about that for a minute, but I am going to get to you guys. Alan?
Yeah, I guess it could be a minority report to the extent of if there is belief that there should have been another recommendation, for instance, which was not included. So we don't have consensus on the recommendation that isn't there. Given that minority reports tend to mean there is opposition to what we're recommending, it may well be better to include it under a slightly different name so we don't have that conclusion. Because minority positions are formally defined in the working group guidelines, as Marika has just said. So I think we want to be careful what it's called, but we certainly, if people feel they need to include an additional statement, I don't think we want to prohibit it, but we want to be careful about how we title it. Thank you.
Let's just explore what the options are a little bit. And I'm sort of leaning on Marika for this. If it's not a minority statement, is it... where does it go? Does it go in the report as an annex? Does it go as a parallel submission to the council? I mean, where do those words wind up? That's the puzzler I'm chewing on. Do you have any ideas about that?
This is Marika. I think that's really up to the working group to decide. As far as I'm aware, I don't think the working group guidelines or the PDP manual provide any specific guidance on that. So trying to think what has been done in other groups, I think in other cases there have been instances where people have submitted a statement and requested that to be included, and working group basically decides whether they agree with including that either as an annex, just clarifying that this is a specific statement of either an individual or a group that wants to have that reflected, or whether they feel that indeed it should be a separate statement that such a group may want to submit as the report is being submitted, or as a completely separate kind of document. I recall that we also had a situation where I think an alternative letter was sent to the council suggesting certain proposals that weren't viewed as consensus or by the team that looked at them. So I think, in short, it's really up to the working group to decide, but I guess to a large extent it will depend on what the statement actually says. Because indeed, if it is a true minority report and saying we don't support the recommendation, but we actually think that this recommendation should have been considered, of course, it's of a very different nature than saying these are some points we want to highlight and emphasize. And I think if it is along the line of the former, I think it would be helpful if that would be brought out sooner rather than later, because I think we have been indeed operating on the assumption, as this report has been out in this form for quite some time, and we have been reviewing comments, and you know, so far there hasn't been any indications, or at least as far as I recall, feedback and saying we don't support the recommendation as is, and we would strongly encourage the working group to, you know, reconsider, or, you know, this is some new information that we want the working group to debate. So I think it would be helpful to have some further information on what such a statement would include, as that may help the working group to decide what would be the most appropriate place for such a statement, whether it's inside or outside of the report.
Thanks, Marika. I stalled long enough that Amr's ready to give us some insight. Go ahead, Amr.
Thanks, Mikey. This is Amr. I apologize for making everyone so nervous about this, but I'm generally, I think it's a great report. I think the report really, everyone put a lot of effort into discussing all the items that we were chartered to do as a working group. I personally do not disagree with any of the substantive findings that the working group members have found. However, as a person and a representative of a constituency who is advocating non-commercial registrants and their rights, I don't necessarily see the findings in this report justifying a transition to Thikhuiz, and that is the recommendation being made. And I would like the opportunity. I'm not sure what we're going to call it and what label we would put on a minority statement of whatever it might be called, we might need to add it to this report or submit it separately. I really don't know. But I would like to point out that, okay, there were some concerns that were described in this report, and the working group is issuing the final report. And based on these findings, we do not think that a transition from thin to thick is justified. And we understand that this is a minority view, but it is the view of non-commercial users constituency. And I don't think we will have a full consensus. And I thought that everyone was pretty clear on that. But before I point it out right now, so we probably will have consensus on the working group, but there will be a minority view. And I was just saying that we might need a little bit of time to prepare that. Generally, we do coordinate our inputs, like Roy, Avery, and myself. And so that's all. That's the only reason I really asked for additional time to do this. And I hope this isn't too much of a problem for everybody. My understanding is that this was pretty standard. Thanks.
Well, it raises an interesting possibility, and that is that, and now I need a little help with council voting thresholds, because what you're describing, Amr, is in fact, I think, a minority view, which means that we are not at consensus in the working group. That, you know, personally you agree, but if your constituency doesn't and is planning, you know, not to participate in that full consensus, then, you know, it's a real live, true blue, rough consensus with a minority view, and it's the minority view that goes with that status. And then what we get to is the possibility that this goes to the council. And if the NCUC and the NPOC vote against, then I'm not sure we have the votes in the council to carry the proposal forward. So all of a sudden, life gets much different. Marika, you want to help me out, and then I'll go to Steve or Alan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna speak on that if you want me to, but Marika can go first if she wants.
I always defer to Marika on stuff like this. She's my parliamentarian.
Yeah, this is Marika. I don't think your assessment is completely correct, because I think that the supermajority vote actually is set up in such a way that one stakeholder group cannot block a consensus policy. But it would require, if you look at the voting, basically everyone else voting in favor, including the non-com appointee in the non-contracted party house, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Alan, carry on.
She is not mistaken. It requires, I think, something like, I don't remember, two-thirds or something of the, in this case, the contracted party's house, and everyone but the NCSG voting for it to still have a supermajority. Essentially, the voting thresholds were set up so a single stakeholder group cannot veto a supermajority, but it has to have a lot of support other than that. So, but I think that really is the crux of it. If this disagreement by the NCSG councillors, and that's who it comes down to, is going to result in them voting against this adopting this report in council, then it definitely should have a minority statement. And Mike, right. You're using the term consensus too loosely in this case. The defined terms are full consensus and consensus. Consensus is what you were calling rough consensus, that is, most but not all. If any of the NCSG representatives on this group or the NCSG itself is going to say, no, I don't agree, then that is a consensus, but not a full consensus.
Yeah, I think
if
that's right.
Now, consensus, there may well be a minority report. There may well be votes against it in council, and if there are going to be votes against it in council, we really do need a more minority report as opposed to can accept one.
Right. Yeah, it actually clarifies the way ahead. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Steve. Just 2 points. First, I think this discussion emphasizes the need to have some clear deadlines when the text goes out. Let's have a clear deadline of, let's say, September 30th for people to express their views on support or not. And second, let's have a clear deadline for the preparation of any other views to be included with the report. Now, we don't know at this point whether those would be minority views or something else, but if we could set a deadline, say, of October 14th for those views to be submitted, then that gives everybody 2 weeks after the consensus deadline, and it still is a week before the time that's needed so the staff can put this together, and, you know, if there's any issue about what label should be put on it, there'll be time to work that out. You know, I think this whole discussion about voting in the council is a little bit premature. I don't think there's any necessary assumption that the views of people on this working group who were coming here and reporting back to their constituency or stakeholder group are necessarily going to be the same as the views that the councillors end up taking. So we don't really know how that will work out, and I'm not sure that there's much benefit to speculating about it. But if we can get clear deadlines so that everybody knows that if you have anything else to say about this, you have to submit it. You have to submit it by, let's say, October 14th, so that we will be in a position to get it to the council by the 21st with a recommendation that they take it up, and that would be ripe at the meeting on the 31st. I think that's the goal we should be shooting for. Thank you.
I think that's right. Wow, got a big cue. I just looked. Alan?
Yeah, I half agree with Steve and half disagree. We're not in a position to lock in what votes are in council. Very few people on this group have the ability to guarantee how their stakeholder group is going, or individuals in some cases are going to vote. But I think everyone here needs the awareness that if we do not get a supermajority in council, there are registry representatives who believe that you cannot, no matter what threshold the board approves it by, if it does not have a supermajority of council, it cannot be a consensus policy, capital C, capital P, and essentially the last year of our work is wasted. So recognize, it's all well and full to say, yes, we agree, but someone else may not, but understand the impact of that as we go. Everyone needs to understand the impact of that as we go forward.
Right, and Amr and Roy, that's part of the reason why everybody's so interested in your thoughts on this, because although you may personally agree and feel comfortable with this report, it's incumbent on me to flush out those disagreements early enough that we can attempt to address them. And so to have them come in essentially at the 11th hour like this is problematic, and puts the rest of us in a very difficult situation. So I am a little disappointed to find that there's a completely unexpressed, unwritten minority view coming in this late in the game, and just want to point that out. Roy, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. I appreciate your observations, and indeed, and I agree with Steve that I think that the best way to resolve this issue and to bring it to an end, because I personally agree with you, we need to get this done, and I think that's the agreement of everybody in the working group, that what we should do is to, I mean, I don't mind pointing the finger on my own constituency and say, give us a deadline. You know, if there is anything else that we will have to say, you have until this day to do it, and that's it, because I think that that's not unreasonable. We should have a deadline. And it may be that the constituency just don't submit anything. I mean, that's another good point. We'll have to see what the councilors in the end decide to do. And so if you give us a few days, we'll have an answer for you. My personal recommendation to the constituency is going to be that we need to get this done. Thank you.
Thanks, Roy. And, you know, I would point out that, you know, that's the reason we've been here for a year, is to have these long conversations. And so I'm feeling like we're in an awkward situation where we're getting trumped right at the end. And, you know, we need to try and avoid that if we can. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I think in fairness to the NCUC people on this group, there's been a constant and recurring statement that, you know, that they have concerns about privacy and would prefer that this transition not go through. So I don't think this is anything new. And the NCUC the full NCSG can vote against this and it still goes through as a consensus policy. It's tight. And a single other vote, you know, that doesn't go with it will kill it. So they, you know, it's not that they will kill it alone, but it's a real tight squeeze at that point. So I think we need to go forward knowing what's going on, and for that reason, I strongly, you know, would support knowing as soon as possible whether there is going to be something that would be called a minority report, and which closely maps to the possibility that the councillors may reject it. So I think we need to go forward knowing that, because that really means, if anything else, to be blunt, all the ducks have to be lined up on the other side to make sure there are no surprises. Otherwise,
well, I think
wasted a year, and I resent that.
Yeah. Well, no, I think what happens then, at least my immediate call would be that we wait and we work it out. I mean, I don't really want to submit and let it get fought out on the council floor. I want to get these issues surfaced and addressed and fixed so that we've got something that the council can vote.
Mikey, I think we may not be able to fix this.
I know that. But
let's understand what's happening going forward. I think the schedule that Steve and I have proposed is workable. It gives people plenty of time, and still we'll say this will go to a council vote relatively soon. You know, within our lifetime. And
I'd like that too. But at the same time, I don't want to push this
within the lifetime of these terms on council and various things like that.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Looks like Rory and Alan have old hands up, so I'll skip down to Amr. Go ahead, Amr.
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. This is Amr. I really am sorry that I'm giving the impression that I'm pulling a fast one on the working group. That's really not what I'm trying to do here. I think Alan is absolutely right. We have expressed concerns regarding privacy, and this goes back to when we first submitted the NCUC statements shortly after the subteams were created. And when I say that we want to perhaps provide a minority opinion, it is not because I disagree with any of the substantive findings in the report. It's just that the actual findings published in the final report do not necessarily justify a transition of thin to thick based on our own, and I understand that this is a more or less unilateral concerns. And I was under the impression since we started discussing, especially all the work we did on the privacy issues, that this was a general understanding that we were not in favor of a transition of thin to thick because of these privacy issues, and we feel very strongly about them, and we haven't. And if you recall the NCUC statement we submitted, I don't remember when that was. I think it was January or February. We did quite a bit of work on preparing what our concerns were, and Roy did a lot of work as well in drafting a second annex to our initial statement, which we also submitted. And so I thought we were pretty clear on that, and I appreciate Alan's saying that we were pretty clear on this. I thought we were, and it really is not my intent right now to try to pull a fast one on anyone or try to in any way undermine the work that everyone else has been doing. I appreciated the work we did, especially on the privacy and data protection subteam. I will try to get an answer for you as quickly as possible on what we will be submitting, if anything at all. And I think the schedule that Alan and Steve suggested is something that I am personally very comfortable with. Thanks.
Let me just respond, Amr. I mean, you know, the way that this, and maybe I failed as a chair, the way this is supposed to work is people come in at the beginning with views, and then we work very hard to find compromises on those issues and publish them in a final report that is agreeable to all. And so to find at this hour that you've essentially been riding along saying, well, yeah, but we still disagree, is disappointing, because it puts, I think, us all in a very awkward and frustrating position. So maybe I failed in conveying that, but, you know, that's the reason that we had those long discussions in the privacy team, and it would have been helpful if you could have come out of that discussion saying we still don't agree. So anyway, that's just a slight departure into mild frustration. Alan, I think have to let you be the last, because we are 1 minute plus over the.
Sorry, I'll be very quick. I guess I at some level support you, Michael, or Mikey. My understanding as we were approaching this point in our process is that we did have full consensus on this working group. That doesn't mean the stakeholder group agrees, but I thought we had consensus on the working group that, despite the reservations, since we didn't come up with any, you know, hard evidence and scenarios where privacy could run afoul because of what we're suggesting, that know, perhaps grudgingly, perhaps because we've had such good discussions that within the working group we had full consensus. If I'm mistaken, then so be it. Let's get a statement written quickly so that we can append it to the report. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I think with that, Steve's typing like mad. Armor's typing like mad. Can I indulge and add just 5 minutes? Maybe we can have a little bit more conversation before we wrap up. I don't mean to arbitrarily whack this off. This is clearly very important. So if folks want to speak instead of type, by all means, jump in.
This is Steve. I don't have anything more to add, and I will need to drop off here in just a minute. Thank you.
Okay. Well, with that, I think we'll wrap it up. Amar, Roy, you've got your work cut out for you. And Marika, if you could sort of summarize that schedule. I was busy watching all the knobs and dials and didn't write the exact dates.
Mikey, maybe read out Marika's last two comments before they disappear off the screen for those who may listen to this recording afterwards. I think it's important.
Let's see. So Marika says, just roll back. Steve makes an important point. The working group report does not necessarily need to reflect the view of the stakeholder groups and constituency. It reflects the views of the working group members, which may or may not align with how the council votes on a report eventually. Steve is agreeing with that. And that's absolutely true. And so that's some navigational assistance, I think, for Amar and Roy. I would add one last point. I talked to Avery about this issue when we were in Durban or Beijing. I think it was Beijing, actually. And, you know, there is this concept of, you know, and Avery's, I'm paraphrasing her, I'm not doing it as eloquently as she did. She says, look, I have a differing view. I want it heard. And once it's been heard, I'm okay if I'm not going to prevail. And so the question is that where we're at? That they want it heard, in which case we can figure out a way to work it into the report, or is this, in fact, a minority view that's essentially breaking what we thought was the full consensus of the working group? So Roy and Amar, you've got your work cut out for you. We'll look forward to hearing from you. And with that, I think we'll wrap this one up.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, all.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
See you in a week. Bye-bye.
Bye.